Hi, and welcome to the Imaginal Podcast. This is a place that protects and explores what we need to actualize our uniqueness. And like the caterpillar, who carries its butterfly blueprint in its imaginal cells all the way to the chrysalis, and then melts into liquid before it transforms. We too have an inner knowing that can tell us how to make our wings. And here's your host, life coach and consultant, Lori Sauce, who goes most commonly by her nickname, Sauce.
Hello, it's Sauce. Welcome to the podcast and Happy New Year. We are taking one last week off, and then we will return with new episodes starting the following week. So today I'm bringing a reprise of an episode that I did with Rafaela Brown, someone who is very loved everywhere she goes and a very prominent member of this podcast and a frequent guest co-host. And as I mentioned in a previous episode a little bit ago, Rafaela has been busy with her daughter who graduated from high school and went off to college, but she will return shortly for another episode in these coming months pretty soon. But for now, I want to bring you the episode that we did about shifting your negative self-talk. And it also seems to go hand in hand with our series of being coached from afar, and maybe a really good time to re-listen to this if you've heard it before, or if you're hearing it for the first time. I think you will love Rafaela. I'm so grateful for her. Okay, here is one of our favorite episodes with Rafaela. Again, it's shifting your negative self-talk. Happy New Year, and we'll see you soon. Hello, welcome back to the podcast. It is Sauce. How are you? How is your week going? How is your weekend? Depending on when you listen to this. I had the best weekend, partly because I had the opportunity to go to a concert and we danced all night and I'm so tired, but it was well worth it. Get yourself out to some live music if you can and just dance. It is so good. It is so good. Also good is that I have Rafaela Brown back on the podcast today. I know you know how much I love riffing with Rafaela, and she was here on episodes 57 and 58 when we considered the idea of why is it that you're so hard on yourself? Why are you so hard on yourself? And I say it like that because it is so unnecessary, right? It's so unnecessary. For some reason, we carry along these comments that we've kind of gathered up along the way. We just start taking them in from childhood until now, and we, for some reason, decide that we're going to entertain them, that we're going to let them stick around for a long time, even if they have no merit, and even if they keep us from living the life that we really want to live or to do and express ourselves in the way that's most authentic to ourselves. And we keep our creativity small, and we keep our voice small. No, I mean, not always, but we can in these places of vulnerability, in these places where we carry some sort of, old criticism or fear or doubt or some sort of wavering self-belief. And it doesn't mean that we don't take constructive criticism on board, and it doesn't mean that we're unable to make mistakes or that we shouldn't own things like that. But what we're talking about is, what are those things that are unnecessarily riding along that were just not meant to be longtime companions? And so we spent a couple episodes identifying those things, because often you don't even know that they're, you know, that you can question them, I guess. They have just been around so long that you adapt to them, you think they're true, or maybe you kind of know they're not true, but you're afraid to live as if they aren't true. And so it's really important to identify them and to separate yourself out from them and to question the validity and see if you really want it to keep you from living the way you'd really like to live, and really offer the gifts that you have to give to people into this world. And so again, that's episodes 57 and 58. I think if you haven't caught those episodes, you might enjoy them. And today we are back, as we said we would come back, to talk about being devoted to shifting these internal negative comments, the self-talk, the negative self-talk. Because once you've identified it, unfortunately, it's not one of those things that's like, oh, got it, noted, and then they go away. I guess sometimes they do, but oftentimes it's a default. We go right into that thought, or the thought comes through quite often, and we just, you know, give it too much weight. And so often it takes some devotion, some intention, and some compassion, honestly, to begin to separate from that uninvited thing. And we all have them, I would venture to say. And so, yes, so Raphael and I are going to talk today about some inroads so that you can begin to live differently and more freely and more truthfully and more authentically. I hope you find it meaningful. And yeah, just really take some time to lift off the comments that keep you small, that keep your life unexpressed, because we need you. This world needs you. You are the one and only you. And that sounds so trite, but it is so true. So here is my conversation with Raphaella. I hope you enjoy it. Hey, everyone. I'm here with Raphaella Brown.
Hello, hello. I'm back.
Yes. Raphaella and I mentioned to you that we are starting a group coaching program, and we will be rolling that out incredibly soon. And we just wanted to note that we'll give you a few extra details at the end of this episode. And today, what we're going to do is pick up just a little bit more on the two episodes we did prior to this. And what we asked was, why are you so hard on yourself? Gosh, that sounds so accusatory, doesn't it, Raphaella? Why are you so hard on yourself?
Right. We want answers, and you need to ask yourself. But I mean, all jokes aside.
Yeah, this is someone's first time listening to us, and we're like, we want answers.
We just want you to take a, you know, encourage you to take a look at, you know, self-reflect and give yourself space.
Yeah, we're just coming in with this idea because I think so many of us, if not everybody, have some narratives that can be really accusatory or critical. And we ride along with these, and we talked about that previously. And today we just wanted to come and bring in just a little more practical ways in which we can be devoted to this idea. Because like Raphaella said last time that we were together, you know, it's not just that you think one thought and all of a sudden you got it all figured out. And so it is a bit of a devotion, isn't it, Raph?
Yeah, it's ongoing. I think we said this before, it's not one and done. You know, you have this solution, resolution, and you do it one time, and it's just like, oh, voila.
Epiphany. Yeah.
Right.
I am
everything
good.
Is fixed. And it's just like, oh, no.
Yeah, that was a really great smile you gave just now. Yeah, Raphaella. In your practice as a coach or in your own personal life, what are some ways in which you stay devoted to the idea of not being as hard on yourself?
Yeah, one of the things that can be helpful is to really help clients to put things into perspective. And even for myself too, because I'm someone who I can be hard on myself. So mm-hmm. taking a step back to put things into perspective, right? So if I'm like, I'm always messing up, I'm always getting this wrong, I do this every time, you know, that always, that every, mm-hmm. you know, and really being able to challenge that, like, is that true, Raphaella? Are you always doing that? Are you always messing up? Is there, mm-hmm. you know, people are always, whatever it is that you're saying to yourself, which makes it big.
Giant.
It makes it giant. So being able to challenge that thought and put it into perspective, like, and asking yourself, you know, is that true? What examples or proof do you have of it? And a lot of times when working with people and with myself, I'm like, I haven't made this bigger than what it is. I don't have no proof, right? I don't have any proof. Or sometimes, you know, sometimes when people are deep into like, it always happens, they might be like pulling for straws, like, well, I seen this here. And it's like, you really have to take time to work through it. So what examples do you have of yourself winning, you know, or doing mm-hmm. it differently? So asking yourself those questions helps you to take a step back and really challenge it for yourself, which makes something that you've created so big,
right?
Anxious ridden, you know,
right?
It shrinks it and you're able to like breathe some like, oh, okay, well, this is actually what happened.
Yes. Oh, yes. I love what you said about those words always or how big it gets. What's funny is that what we really want is we want it not to be true. So if we have some sort of critical voice, it's like, oh, you're always lazy, let's say, or, you know, fill in the blank. We all have these things that run through. Mm-hmm. What we really want is we want to know that's not true. But yet we use confirmation bias in some weird way. And we like go on to the other side. We are on the other team all of a sudden. We're like proving it the other way when really we don't want that. But I think there's something to know that we don't have to be perfect. So, okay, let's say I'll make it personal for me. If I was to say, oh, you always sing off pitch, that's a fear. That's an old comment from a long time ago when I sang something off pitch. And then all of a sudden I have this deep fear. And so in order to not work on it or in order to not embarrass myself, I just have this belief like, oh, you always sing off pitch. But that mantra, not only I in my mind making that true or making that thought come through as true and making me feel heavy and making me feel disempowered and making me feel really bad about myself, but it doesn't open up any space for me to change that. And sometimes for people, that comment might have been spoken completely out of falsehood. Maybe it was never true. This young part of us or this shamed part of us will think maybe it was true. And we live under that umbrella of yuckiness and we don't know how to get outside of it. And so whether it was true or it wasn't true, I've almost put my entire worth as a human being on the fact that I cannot sing on pitch. And until I'm able to both separate that out and question that always nature of it and question also, was it true ever? Is it true now? Most importantly, that my worth as a human or that my lovability isn't based on that. It's only then when I can make that comment mean less. So what if I sang a note off pitch?
Is right. That,
you know, also, how am I ever going to learn how to sing on pitch if I don't sing some off pitch? You don't go from like, you know, me to like Billie Eilish. Right. Yeah. Or, you know, if I'm worried about rhythm, I don't go from me to Drake like in 1 second, you know.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But to take the sting out of that comment and know that I don't have to make it true. I don't have to fear that it's true. And even if it is true sometimes, that's okay. That's totally okay. Just make it go on.
No, as you were talking and you were sharing like that statement, you know, I always sing off pitch or mm-hmm. an always statement. It made me think about how it causes people to shrink. And
yes.
when you talk about living under that statement, like if you're thinking, I always do that, like people's thoughts about their abilities and how they interact and where they see themselves in relationship to work, life, in relationship is so small. And they begin to operate like that, like they don't want to be seen or they don't say as much. They don't do as much out of fear. Mm-hmm. And so now your world has shrunk a lot. And yeah, that's what was coming up for me.
Mm-hmm. I love that you brought that up because it really does require some tenderness. I think these are tender spaces. You know, I'm saying this with such a loud voice and I'm proclaiming it, but if you were to ask me what made me cry the most in my life as a young person, or what gives me the most fear now as a fully like trying to evolve human being, that would be my real place of vulnerability. That is the place where I can even go into fight or flight because of just some real, you know, old issues. And so I think knowing that we aren't disempowered, and also being really kind and really gentle in these spaces and approaching them with openness and curiosity, but also bringing some sort of soothing.
Right. And this made me think about a conversation me and one of my close girlfriends we were having recently about how to take steps to show up in the world. You know, how can you start to get your voice out there more? You know, your voice matters, how to deal with conflict. And it really starts with, you know, she was sharing like what she's doing. It's like taking the smallest step. So whether that's like being in a meeting and thinking like, oh, I'm going to ask a question, like I'm going to put my voice in the room and ask a question. Or if it's like being able to voice that, you know, what's going on to your partner, if there's a challenge or something that they unintentionally did, being able to have that conversation. So taking those small steps from asking questions, sending an email, showing up, you know, being present, engaging in conversations that you normally wouldn't engage in. Those are ways that builds confidence and combats the story that, you know, you always do this, you always do that, really combats that and shrinks that and expands who you really are so that you begin to grow and that story you were telling yourself begins to fade.
Oh, Roth. I love that.
You're so sentimental.
Me and my big ball of feelings.
Oh, you're so sweet.
My really close friend, actually more than one, jokes about the fact that I'm Little Miss in my giant container of feelings.
I love those Little Misses.
Yeah. I'm a Pisces, in case anyone didn't guess. But no, you were speaking of reminds me also of when I was teaching, and you might have 30 or 40 students in the room. And one day when one student who really hasn't spoken up before shares, it is so beautiful. And everyone is like, oh my gosh, this person has so much inside of them and we didn't know. And having taught like really probably thousands of students in one capacity or another, or I shouldn't even say that because they also have been teachers to me, but I have not met one person who wasn't gorgeous in their uniqueness. So not only is it important to bring your voice and put it in the room, I love the way you said that, and all the other examples you gave too, but it is a gift to the people you're with, and it is a gift to the world too, because you have what no one else does. And we can't be letting these stories and these narratives and these criticisms keep people from being themselves. Too much to risk.
Right, right. So what just popped in my head was like, you know, give yourself credit. Mm-hmm. And some people be like, oh, that shouldn't, you know, do that, or why not? Give yourself credit.
Mm-hmm.
It's so easy to go to what you're not doing and emphasis on not. So easy to pick yourself apart. Well, and I do this with people that I work with. I want to hear what you are doing in that situation. What did you do well? What did you like about that the most? What stood out the most? You know, really helping them to see other parts of the story that they left out.
Mm-hmm. Yes, with my clients, I love to do things like, what are some things that you love about yourself? And that's sometimes a hard question for people to answer, but you can also look from outside of yourself, or you can look at yourself at younger ages and see, because we all see it. We all see it from the outside, you know? I think those limiting beliefs keep us from sharing ourselves. So, Rafaela, I mean, I love talking with you, and I guess one reason, I mean, both here on the podcast and also just in life, and I guess just to bring it full circle from what we said at the beginning, since we're already running out of time, I guess that's one reason it's been so important for us as people to be coaches. I think seeing people blossom just means the world, you know?
Right, right. And seeing people for who they are past what they see about themselves. So being able to pull that out for them, like, hey, you're only looking in the rear view mirror. I see something over here. I hate that I just used that voice. I don't know why I use that voice. you bring it back. But it was a little creepy, but let people know, like, there's other parts to
rear
that story.
Rear view mirror.
It was just real creepy, weird voice. I didn't like that. But you guys, hopefully you see past that and you get what I'm saying.
Totally got you. Yeah, no, I love everything that you bring to this conversation and to all of our lives. And Roth, if they need to get a hold of you for any reason, or for a million reasons, really, where would that be?
You can go to RaphaellaBrown.com for my website and contact me there. Or if you want to reach out to me straight, email info@RaphaellaBrown.com. If you like to see what I've been up to, just some fun stuff, I post on Instagram. Well, I post stories. I keep saying this. I post stories on Instagram.
Yes.
So you can see what's going on with me. And then I'm also, again, on LinkedIn, my professional page,
Raphaella Braille. All your voices are coming out today. My professional.
That's my serious voice. That's what LinkedIn is. Very serious.
Of course. I am on Instagram at Lori Sase, LORISASE. I do post stories too, usually from my container of feelings. And my website, LoriSase.com. I also have a LinkedIn at Lori Sase, where I am also very serious. Not that serious, actually. I'm probably the only one on LinkedIn that has typos. Anyways, we love having you with us. Have a beautiful week, everyone, and don't be so hard on yourself.
Take care.
Thank you for being with us.